We want to begin the seventh perek of Masechet Shabbos, and that's the perek called Klal HaGadol. We'll have a whole discussion in the first sugya as to why this is called Klal HaGadol, why the Mishnah starts with the phrase Klal HaGadol. But I would like to just introduce this perek, as we should do with every perek that we start in Shas, with the terminology that is unique to that perek. Okay, so we have, again, if you want to jot this down, if it's not necessary, don't bother, but if you want to jot this down, it's going to be helpful for those who are not familiar with some of this terminology. Okay? Number one, we have something called Shigigas Shabbos. Okay, Shigigas Shabbos means that he's not aware that it's Shabbos. Then we have something called Shigigas Molocha, where he knows it's Shabbos, but he doesn't know that this is a malacha. Now, it could be he once knew about it, but he forgot about it. Could be he knew it was Shabbos, but he forgot it was Shabbos. So that's called Shigas Shabbos and Shigas Malacha. Then we have something called Ikar Shabbos. Ikar Shabbos means that he never even knew there was such a thing as Shabbos. Can you imagine somebody becomes a Baal Tshuva and he realizes that he's violated Shabbos on many occasions? What's his status? He never heard about Shabbos. That's called Ikar HaShabbos or Shocheach Ikar HaShabbos. Then we have what's called Yediyah. Yud Dalid Yud Ayin Hey. Yediya means that he had forgotten it was Shabbos, but now he realizes it's Shabbos. That's called Yediya. Now we're going to have a long discussion about Yediya. Does Yediya mean he just reminded himself it's Shabbos, or reminded himself that this malach is Asur? Or Yediya means not only did he remind himself that it's Shabbos, but he also reminded himself that he had violated the Shabbos. Okay. Then we get to something called Mazid. Mazid requires the following conditions. Number one, Edim. Number two, Hasra. And number three, Matir Atzmo Lemisa. So he has to be aware of the fact that it's Shabbos and this Malacha is Asura. That's accomplished through Hasra. He has to accept the Hasra, which is called Matir Atzmo Lemisa. And if there are two Edim who can testify that they gave him a Hasra, proper Hasra, valid Hasra, and that he was Matir Atzmo Lemisa, then based on the testimony of these two Edim, after they're interrogated, etc., we will put him to death. That's called a Mazid. Now, between Mazid and Shogeg, there's a wide gap, and that includes cases where he may be a Mazid, but technically we cannot consider him a Mazid, and we cannot punish him with the death penalty, because we're missing two Edim, maybe the Hasra wasn't valid, perhaps he wasn't Matir Atzmo Lemisa. In those cases, he's Chayiv Kares. That's already Bidei Shamayim. So the subject of this perek is really the malachas of Shabbos, but we're not going to get to that for a good while till Daf Ayin Gimel. So we have about six blot until we get to the malachas themselves, the 39 malachas. That's going to come on Daf Ayin Gimel. And in the first six blot, before we get to Ayin Gimel, we're going to talk about Shogeg. So, Shogeg is Chayav Achatos, where a Mazid would have been Chayav Skila. And a Shogeg, as we said, could fit under those three categories, Shochach Ikar HaShabbos, or Shochach Es HaShabbos, or Shochach Es HaMalacha. Now, the next part of our Hakdama, of our introduction, we'll touch on the various categories of Shogeg. If you were shachach ikar Shabbos, you didn't know anything about Shabbos, you could have violated many malachas on many different Shabbosos. As soon as you find out about Shabbos, you chayv one single chatas. Then we have the case of Shiga Shabbos. He's very much aware of Shabbos, but this Shabbos he forgot about. And he violates this Shabbos. He'll bring a chatas for this Shabbos. If he has a shichacha between this Shabbos and next Shabbos, then the second Shabbos will require its own chatas. Let's say he forgot it was Shabbos for a long period of time that includes two different Shabbosos. You know, let's say he was in a partial state of a coma. Then he will bring an additional chatas for every single Shabbos that he violated. If he violates one Shabbos, but not because he wasn't aware of it Shabbos, he was shigas malachos, then he will bring a separate chatas for each malacha that he violated. If he violates the same malacha twice, then in the following condition, and here we're going to introduce a whole new concept, he brings only one chatas. And that's called ha'alama achas. So you have to write this down. Hey, ayin, lamed, mem, hey. Which means that he violated the same malacha twice with one forgetfulness. If he violated, let's say, kotzer, then he becomes aware of the fact that it was kotzer and he's not allowed to be, you know, harvest something. And then he forgets again. In such a case, he's going to have to bring a second chatos, and he cannot kill two birds with one stone because he had a yediya in between. So a yediya is what breaks up a halama. So if you put halama on one side, you have the opposite. The antithetical concept is called yediya. If there's no yediya, that's called halama achas. In one lapse, he forgot it was usur to be kotzer, and he did katsira after katsira after katsira. He patters up all the katsiros with one carbon chatos. That's called halama achas. However, if he violates katsira and he violates another malacha, let's say harisha, then there's no concept of halama achas. Every single malach that he does will generate its own chat. So he'll have to bring a chatas for kotzer and another chatas for choresh, etc., etc., etc. The maximum number of chatos he can be chayav for the violation of one Shabbos is 39. So if he does all 39 malachas in one Shabbos, he'll bring 39 chatos. That's going to cost him a pretty penny. But if he violates the same malacha or the malacha and its tolda, behelim achas, then he brings only one chatas. Now, the entire picture that we've been discussing can be reduced to one concept, which is the most central concept both to this perek, or the first half of this perek, and to Masechta Krisus, and that is called Chiluk, Chet Yud Lamed Vav Kuf. And when you talk about Chiluk, you talk about Mechalkin. Mechalkin means that which wedges or separates between one violation of a Chiyuv Kares and another violation of a Chiyuv Kares. So for example, in Shabbos, we have Shiga Shabbos, and if you're shogging on Shabbos, then you chayv Kares. Had you done it b'mezid, since you did it b'shogeg, you chayv achatos. And if you have two actions with a machalik between them, then each action generates its own chatos. If there's no machalik, which is called halama achas, then one chatos suffices for as many violations as possible, but that's under the condition that there was no machalik. So the machalik comes in and sort of neutralizes the halama. So, for example, if chiluke malachos means that each malach is a machalik, then when you do two different malachas of the 39, even if it was all beheli machas, it doesn't matter, you have a machalik. And therefore, the maximum number of chatos you could get for violating one single Shabbos is 39 malachas. Again, you might have a zillion violations on one Shabbos, but the maximum number is going to be 39, because any violations beyond those 39 are only toldos. So, for example, a person is oreya and he's mashkiz roim behaloma achas, then he brings only one chatos, because both mashkiz roim and zoreya are both av and tolda of melecha zoreya. So that's why the maximum number he could be chayv on any particular Shabbos is 39 chatos. If he violates, as we said before, a tolda of one malacha and an av of a different malacha, then he has a built-in mechalek and he's got to bring two different chatos, because each malacha is a mechalek. Okay. Now, if there are no other questions, then let's begin Perek Shvi. Klal Gadol Amru B'Shabbos, Kol HaShocheach Ikar Shabbos, V'Osa Melochas Harbe B'Shabbosos, Harbe Eino Chai V'Lechatos Achas. So he's totally unaware of the entity of Shabbos, and he never heard that the Torah prohibited Shabbos. In such a case, he can violate a zillion malachas on a zillion different Shabbosos, and he only brings one chatos. In other words, the shgaga is now on the entity of Shabbos itself. And the Gemara later is going to derive from Psukim that there is such an entity as being chayev only one chatos for many different malachas on different Shabbosos. So there's a double chiddush here, because we said before that each malacha generates its own chatos, and there's a mechalik. Or, for example, each Shabbos will generate its own chatos, because Shabbosos mechalkos, but not in the case of Shocheach Iker Shabbos. So this case, this category of Shocheach Iker Shabbos, is a very unique category insofar as it really, in a sense, undermines a lot of the principles that apply in Hilchas Mechalkim. And basically, Shocheach Iker Shabbos neutralizes all the Mechalkim of Shabbosos Harbe, of Melachos Harbe. You know, it's almost as if the Torah has compassion on a Baal Tshuva. I'm just saying this in Balabatisha terms. Because a Baal Tshuva could be, in theory, could be chayav endless amount of chatos, but the answer is no. When he's chozer b'tshuva, he only has one chiyav chatos for all the various violations that he had incurred. Now we have a case of Yodea Iker Shabbos. So we're no longer in the category of Shocheach Iker Shabbos. V'asa malachas harbe b'shabbosos harbe. Now we have the halacha of a mechalik. This is the first halacha of a mechalik, and that's called Shabbosos Mechalkos. Is chayav al kol Shabbos v'Shabbos. So again, he may have forgotten about Shabbos on two consecutive Shabbosos. He had no yediyah in between. He knows about the entity of Shabbos, but he forgot about Shabbos, and he violated Melachos Harbe. So since he was Shocheach Iker Shabbos, then the Mechalik of Melachos is neutralized, is completely undermined and cancelled. So there's no Mechalik of Melachos, but there will be Mechalik of Shabbosos. Why? Because he's Yodea Iker Shabbos, and he forgot it was Shabbos. So if a man forgets today is Shabbos, and he violates 39 Melachos, he brings only one Chatos. If he violates next Shabbos, he will bring another chatos for next Shabbos. Hayodea shu Shabbos, v'osa malachas harbe, So now we have a case where he knows that today is Shabbos. Ask him what day of the week it is, it's Shabbos. He knows exactly the essence of Shabbos. And he knows today is Shabbos, but he forgets the malachos. The asa malachos harbe. Bishabosos harbe. Chayav al kol av malachu malacha. He is on the top of Daf Samaches. He has a separate chiyuv for each malach. This is called not Shabbosos Mechalkos, but Avos Mechalkos. Now, it says over here in the Mishnah that Asa Malachos Harbe Bishabbosos Harbe. And my question to you is, he knows not only Shabbos, the essence of Shabbos, he knows that today is Shabbos, and the Mishnah is now establishing the rule of Malachos HaMechalkos. Why did the Mishnah have to add those words, Bishabbosos Harbe? Not sure what that is, so we'll have to wait until we see the sugya clearly, and then we'll try to figure out why it has to say Shabbosos Harbe. So let's just divide up the Mishnah into three parts. We have Ashokheach Iker Shabbos. There's no Mechalik whatsoever. He can violate many Malachas on many Shabbosos. He only brings one Chatas. If on the other hand he forgot today is Shabbos, and he forgot next Shabbos and the Shabbos afterwards, then there's another Mechalik. Then we introduce a Mechalik, and that's called Shabbosos Mechalkos. And he's chayav a separate Chatas for each Shabbos. Now, since he forgot it was Shabbos, he can violate many Malachos on that same Shabbos, and one Chatas suffices for all the Malachos that he violates. Now we get to the case of Shochaches HaMalachos. So he knows very well today is Shabbos. He forgets the Malachos. And that could also mean that he was unaware of the Malachos. He never learned the Malachos. Each Malacha generates its own Chiyuv. And in the language of the Mishnah, that's called Chayav Al Kol Av Melacha u'melacha. Now, it's a little bit misleading. The Mishnah mentions here av melacha. You might walk away from this Mishnah thinking that he is not chayav for a tolda. That's not true. To the same extent that he's chayav a korban chatas for violating an av, he's chayav a korban chatas for violating a tolda as well. But the Mishnah wants to emphasize the Av Malacha because, see, Rashi says, Lav Lemuti Toldos, the Uedin Letoldos, Uvad Shia Toldos, the Shnei Avos. So the Mishnah wants to emphasize that although a Toldos, it generates a Chiv Chatos, no less than an Av in the case of Shogig, but nevertheless, if he violates two toldos of the same av, or the av and its tolda, he's only chayav one. That's what the Mishnah wants to emphasize, the av malacha. The av malacha sort of combines all of its toldos, and it and its toldos, har and a toldos, into one chiyuv chatos. So Rashi gives two examples. Number one, he violated many toldos of the same av. Or second scenarios where he violates the Av and its Tolda. In such a case, he's only Chayev one Chatas. That's why I said to you at the outset that the maximum number of Chatos that you could be Chayev for violating one Shabbos, even if you did all the Malachas and all its Toldos, would only be 39. Because by definition, there are 39 Av Malachas and all the Toldos fit into those Avos. Let's go on in the Mishnah. Ose malachos harbe me'ein malacha achas. Eino chayev elachatos achas. And Here we have a concept called Me'ein Melacha Achas. Now, what is Me'ein Melacha Achas? So Pashtus, and that's how Rashi learns this, it means an Av and a Tolda. However, there is a possibility that you can violate two different Avos, and you're only Chayav one Chatos, because it's Me'ein Melacha Achas. And to give you one example of that, that would be Mevashel and Ofe. So he takes a pot of vegetables and puts in water into the pot, and he puts it on a flame and they cook. And then he takes a dough and he puts it into the oven and he bakes it. Is he chayav two chatos? If there was no yediyah in between, that's called haloma achas, or one chatos. So you and I would have said that he should be chayav two chatos, because these are two avos melachos. There's an av melach called ofer, and another av melach that's called mevashel. But that's called me'ein melach achas. He only brings one chatos for both ofer and mevashel because of this concept called me'ein melach achas. That the similarity between ofer and mevashel is so striking. Both are essentially methods of preparing food, raw food, and taking from the state of raw to the state of edible. And therefore, they belong to one Av Melacha. That's called Me'ein Melacha Achas. And how do you know if two Melachos are Me'ein Melacha Achas or not? For that, we have to learn the second half of this Perek, which begins, as I said, on Daf Ayin Gimel, and that's the list of Melachos, which equals 39. And Ofer and Mevashel are not counted in that Mishnah as two different Melachos. By the way, I mean, this is just jumping ahead of ourselves for a moment. If you take a look on Daf Ayin Gimel for a second, in the list of Melachos, you'll see something interesting. The Mishnah lists Ofer and not Mevashel. And that's fascinating, because normally we would assume that Mevashel is much more common than Ofer. Mevashel applies to all the foods, and maybe even to other materials that are not edible. Ofer is a lot more limited, but for some reason the Mishnah mentions Ofer. And the one who addresses this is the Avnei Nezer, the Sukkot Shav, in his book Iglei Tal. So my time of the Gemara asks, Tana Klal Gadol. Why does the Mishnah have to use this phrase, Klal Gadol? Klal, why Klal Gadol? So Elam, if you want to suggest, Mishum de Kaboy le Misne Od Klal Acher, that the Mishnah is using what we call a relativity, a comparison theory, that we have a different Klal, and this Klal is more fundamental, more complicated, it's a major Klal in relationship and comparison to another Klal. So later on, Adaf Ayin Hey Amid Beis, the Mishnah has another klal. Let's take a quick peek on Adaf Ayin Hey Amid Beis. Od klal Amru. And this is a klal that has to do specifically with Meleches Hotzah. And that's called Kolakosha Latzniya Matzniya Kimoso, etc., etc., Chayv Chatos. So you need something that's kosher latznia, you know, it's an object of value, and it's kosher latznia. So you can put it away for future use. So you chayev fahotzah. Okay, very important klal, but it's only relevant to one malacha. So our Mishnah uses klal gadol because our mission is shedding a light on the regulations that govern all the malachas. That makes it into a klal gadol. So the Gemara is not happy with that, because gabi shvius nami, we also have klal gadol in the Mishnah of Shvius. Right, so we know that there are 7 years in the Shemitah cycle, and the crop during the seventh year is sanctified with Kedusha Shvius. And in Masechta Shvius, if you open up to the seventh chapter, it opens up with Klal Gadol Amru B'Shvius. So let's see if we can maintain the same definition. And the Gemara says, Mishum de kabay lemisne od klal acher is therefore tana klal gadol. So the opening Mishnah in Masechta, in the seventh parak of Masechta Shemiyah, starts with klal gadol amr b'shviyas, and then the second Mishnah, the following Mishnah in the seventh parak of Shemiyah, says we od klal acher. And once again, the opening klal in the seventh parak of Shvius, maybe if we get a chance we'll open it up, is much more complicated and fundamental and all-encompassing than the klal in the second Mishnah. So once again, we have this klal gadol that contrasts with a klal she'eno gadol. So Gemara's not happy with this. Why? For Hagabi Maser, the Katani Klal Acher, Velo Tani Klal Gadol. If you're saying that whenever you have two Klalim that are codified in two Mishnais in the same Masechta, and one is more complicated than the second one, then the first one would be considered a Klal Gadol. So, for example, in Tainios, the Mishnah begins to discuss Gidule Eretz Yisrael, and many different rules that apply to that crop that grows into Eretz Yisrael. And then the following Mishnah discusses other dinim. Why didn't it say Klal Gadol at the beginning of Mishnayis Maaseh? Lo Tani Klal Gadol. So it means that the Mishnah doesn't start with Gadol simply because it's more complicated than the next Mishnah, which is going to give you a less complicated Mishnah. So now the Gemara offers a second suggestion to justify the phrase Klal Gadol. Om Rab Yossi Bar Ovin, Shabbos Ushvius de Ispahu Avos Vitoldos, Tana Gadol. Maser de Lespu Avos Vitoldos, Lo Tana Gadol. So this is the second attempt in the sugya to explain why here the Mishnah opens up with Klal Gadol. And the Mishnah in Shvius, and the seventh parak of Shvius likewise opens up with Klal Gadol. And the answer is because we have Avos and Toldos. In Maseros, there's no such din as Avos and Toldos. So again, at this point, Rabbi Yossi is saying it's not the complexity of the Mishnah vis-a-vis another Mishnah which is less complex that justifies Klal Gadol, but rather it's the Avos Utoldos distinction that's called the Klal Gadol. And our Mishnah implements the phrase Klal Gadol to indicate that there are Avos and Toldos in Shabbos, and if you violate an Av and it's Tolda, then Ba'alama Achas, then you bring only one karma, because, and so too if you violate two toldos of the same Av, because the Av is the overarching umbrella violation, and the toldos are already subcategories. So the Gemara rejects this. Why Labar Kapara de Tani Klal Gadol B'Maser? There's a brisa that's authored by Bar Kapara, and in his brisa, he begins Masechta Masros with a Klal Gadol, and Bar Kappa is one of the author. Bar Kappa is one of the authors of the Tosefta, and he arranged various prices to expand the teaching of the Mishnah. And he starts Masechta again, the Tosefta of Masros, with a klal gadol, and there are no ovis and toldos in Masros. Elos, and now the Gemara gives a third explanation for the word gadol. Elav hainu taima gadol onsho shel Shabbos yosef shel Shvius. So now the Gemara is going to set up a relativity theory. We have Shabbos on top, Shvius in the middle, and Masros on the bottom. And when you look at the bottom, you end up with a violation of a lav and a chiyuv onesh malchus. When you go up the ladder, then you get a greater punishment until you finally reach the top of the ladder, which is the ultimate punishment, and that's the capital punishment. So it's all relativity. So we start with the top and we go down to the bottom. Gadol onsho shel Shabbos yosef mishel Shvius. The E up. Now, I presented to you a thesis which I thought was valid. Namely, we're going to talk about different levels of onshim. The Gemara is now rejecting that. The Gemara is accepting a different mechanics, and that is the extent and the application of the Avera. And Shabbos has a tremendous application, because Ilu b'Shabbos isa ben b'tolosh ben b'mechubar. You could violate Meleches Shabbos, not only b'mechubar, for example, Meleches Ktsira, but also in Tolosh. Let's say, for example, we have Tchina, Tochen, and we have Meleches Dash, we have Meleches what other examples could I give? Oh, we have Meleches Lisha. So we have not only Tchina, but we also have Lisha. And both of those of us apply even to Tolush, something which was cut off from the Karka. The Ilu Shvius, but if we compare Shabbos to Shvius, Shabbos is a Klal Gadol compared to Shvius, because b'mechubar isa b'tolosh less. I mean, I changed this. You know, it's Shvius only, Kedusha Shvius only applies to that which is mechubar l'karka. And that which is tolosh min hakarka is excluded from Kedusha Shvius. Now, what does that mean? That's very strange, because we know that Kedusha Shvius continues to apply even after Ktsira. Ah, but we're going back to the moment when Shvius began. And Shvius is only chal on that which is mechubar l'karka. So if, let's say, you cut a piece of wheat one moment before Shkias HaChama on Rosh Hashanah of Shvius, again, you have to know about Shloshim Yom and what's called Tosefes Shvius, but in any event, let's just focus on Shvius on Rosh Hashanah. So, I cut down a piece of wheat a moment before Shkia, the last day of Chodesh Elul. I cut off another piece of wheat after Shkia on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, or any time after that. The first piece of wheat is not Kadosh B'Kedusha Shvius, because entering into Shvius, it is Tolosh. The second piece, entering into Shvius, it was Mechubar L'Karka, and I only cut it down after Shkia, that has Kedushas Shabbos. And my theory that Klal Gadol in a relativity would be because you chayv Misa for violating Shabbos, as opposed to Shvius, where you're only Chayav Malkus in the worst case, that doesn't hold water. And the Marsha and the Maram are going to dedicate a lot of energy to figure out why the Gemara didn't go down that path. Now we're going to compare Shvius to Maser. The Ilu Shvius, why do we call Shvius Klal Gadol, Gadol Onshel Shel Shvius Yosef Ben Maser, the Ilu Shvius Isbein B'machal Odom Bein B'machal Behema? So let's say, for example, you have a foodstuff that is only fit for animals, and it was grown not for human consumption, but for animal consumption. The din of Kedusha Shvius applies, even though it's Michael Behema. And the Gemara is going to derive this from Psukim, from Drashos. Just one second. I think Rashi quotes a drasha. Let me just see. Ah. Okay, Rashi says that we derive Shvius from a pasuk ula behemtecha ula chaya. That Shvius, it applies even to Michael Behema. And that's in the parasha Shvius at the end of Vayikra. But Maser leka b'machal behema, right? Is ilu Maser b'machal odom isa b'machal behema lesa? So Rashi says, because legavi Maser, the Torah says, dogon tirosh v'yitzar. So Maser only applies to Michael Odom, but not to Michael Behema. Rashi points out that min Rabbanon, Yechayev Maser, Rabbanon Tikun Peros Ha'ilon. Oh, fine. Just one second. Peros Ha'ilon V'Yerek. Interesting. I'm not sure what bothers Rashi. But anyway, Rashi says that even min Rabbanon, the law of Maser is limited to Michael Adam. What is Maser de Rabbanon? That's called Peros Ha'ilon, or Yerek. So all fruits, with the exception of grapes and olives, and all vegetables, are Chayev in Maser min Rabbanon. So what's common to all those fruits and vegetables is that A, they don't fit into the Doraisa Halacha of Dagon Tirosh V'Yitzar. And B, they're all fit for human consumption. But anything that's fit for animal consumption alone is not Chayev in Maser, not Midoraisa, and not even Midrabbana. Now, we mentioned earlier that the Brice of Bar Kapora in Masros has Klal Gadol. So the Gemara asks, Ula Bar Kapora detoni Klal Gadol be Maser? And again, we have this relativity theory. So now, according to Bar Kapora, it's not enough to have A, B, and C. We're going to have A, B, C, and D. There's going to have to be something that's lower on the totem pole and has a more restricted application and scope than Maser. Gadol Onshel Shel Maser Yoser Mishel Peah. Peah means Matnas Aniyim. De'ilu Maser Isa B'Te'ena V'Yerek. De'ilu Peah Lesa B'Te'ena V'Yerek. So it means that Maser applies. See, but here we have to introduce the Rabbanons. So it's interesting. Bar Kapora wants to set up a Klal Gadol because he wants to introduce the Rabbanons. And although Midoraisa Maser only applies to Dagon Tirosh V'Yitzar, min Rabbanon applies to all fruits and vegetables. That jacks up, according to Bar Kapora, Maser to the level of Klal Gadol, vis-a-vis Peah. Because Peah does not apply to fruits and vegetables. Peah only applies to the chameshes mine dagon. So relative to Peah, Maser is called, in Bar Kappar's language, a klal gadol. Disnan. Now we have a Mishnah in Peah, and this Mishnah in Peah is going to teach us that the obligation of Peah and the scope of Peah is more limited than that of Maser. Klal Omru bePeah. Again, it's not a klal gadol because there's nothing below it on the totem pole in the relativity theory. Kolshu Ochel V'Nishmar V'Gidula Min HaAretz L'Kitaso Ka'achas U'Machniso L'Kiyum Chayav bePeah. So there are five conditions that have to be met in order for a foodstuff to be chayav in Peah. Again, when I say foodstuff, I don't want you to misunderstand me. We're talking about something that's growing in nature. It's not yet edible, but it will become edible. And it's got to be, number one, something that's edible. That's called an ochel. So that's the first condition. Anything that's only roi lachilus behema, but not roi lachilus adam, is right off the bat is excluded from Peah. But it's not yet true to say that anything that could be consumed by a human being is chayav in Peah. It's also got to be nishmar. It has to be some produce that you would want to protect it so that it doesn't get ruined because it has a certain value to it. Number three, it's not all produce, but rather it's got to be gidulo min haaretz. So this has to do with something called hydroponics, if you've ever heard of that, where they grow fruits and vegetables on water. And that's not gidulo min haaretz. So even if it's ochel, it's edible for human beings, and it's nishmar, it's potter from Peah. Then it has to be likitaso ka'achas. There's certain grains that grow in different seasons, so you cannot do the ktsira at once. And it's got to be machniso l'kiyum. Now, what's the difference between nishmar and machniso l'kiyum? Nishmar refers to the grains that are growing in the field, and then nishmar. And machniso l'kiyum refers to putting the harvest into storage, and it'll last for a long time. So if we have all these conditions, it's chayav bePeah. So let's go through each one of these conditions. Ochel limute sviche sotis vekotza. So kotza is a kind of a growth or a gidule karka, and it's nishmar, and it's gidulo likitaso kachas, and it's machniso l'kiyum, but it's not called an ochel, because what do we do with these kinds of kotzim or sviche sotis? We designate them for dyes, D-Y-E-S, not for eating, for human consumption, but rather they use for dyes. So even though they fulfill all the other requirements, nevertheless, it's not ochel and it's potter from Peah. Number two, v'nishmar l'me'ute hefker. It means that it has to be grown in a privately owned field. That which is hefker is potter from matnas aniyin. Number three, gidulim min haaretz l'me'ute k'miyin u'pitrios. So mushrooms will grow on the water, and you know they find themselves on all sorts of stones or whatever, but it's not It's not gidui min ha'aretz. Lekitaso ka'achas lemute te'ena. So the fig crop is potter from peah. Why is it potter from peah? Because figs ripen at different times. This is a sugya in the third parak of Baba Basra. Cheskes abat. So you have to harvest at the harvest time, at the moment of harvest. And in the case of figs, there are various stages and subsequent periods of harvest. Not all figs ripen at the same time. So if there's no harvest for the entire produce of that particular species, then it's potter from peah. And the Gemara uses figs as your paradigm for many, many different fruits that are ein l'kitasam ka'achas. And finally, machnisa l'kiyum l'mu'ute yerek. Yerakos, like turnips and so forth, are potter from peah. Because peah only applies to a species that can be stored for long term without spoiling. Most vegetables are perishable and you cannot store them. What would be in a case of a vegetable that has a long shelf life and it could be packed away into some sort of a storage place and last for a long time without spoiling? So that's going to be an issue that the Gemara is going to take up. The Ilu Gabi Maser Tnan, Klal Omru B'Maser Kolshu Ochel V'Nishmar V'Gidula Min Aretz Chai V'Maser. We have three conditions that have to be met for Maser. So that which grows to make dyes, like kotzim and other things like that, is not chayiv in maser. And something in hefker is not chayiv in maser. And even after I make an acquisition of this field, I'm still potter from peah and from maser. And things like mushrooms and different trifles that don't grow in the ground, truffles, these things are potter min ha-maser, but the iu l'kitaso ka'achas, like the case of figs, which we excluded from peah, because they don't grow at the same time, they don't ripen at the same time, machniso l'kiyum, and things that rot and cannot be stored for a long time, like vegetables, those are chayev in maser. Again, when we talk about figs and vegetables, we're talking about a chiyuv maser derabbanan. But in peah, those fruits and vegetables would not be chayiv even mirabbanan in peah, but in maser, they are chayiv in peah. I'm sorry, chayiv in maser. So we see that maser is called gadol vis-a-vis peah. Okay, Rabotzai. So that's the first Gemara in this perek. We accomplished two things today, Be'ezer Hashem. We got down some of the terminology, the concept of a machalek, the concept of Shigah Shabbos, the concept of Haloma Achas, the concept of Ovos and Toldos, and we tried to figure out what is the meaning of Klal Gadol. And we offered three different possibilities. One had to do with Avos and Toldos, and the other had to do with a complex klal relative to a simple klal. And finally, the third explanation is the scope and the application of Shabbos, which includes both Mechubra lekarka and Eino Mechubra lekarka tolush, like in the cases of Tochein and perhaps Dash and Lash. These are all malachs that apply to tolush. Shvius has a wider application than Masros, because Shvius applies. Just one second. Shvius, well, again, it has a lesser application than Shabbos because it doesn't apply to that which was Tolish going into Shvius. But relative to Masros, Shvius has a wider application. It applies even to something that's Michael Behema. We derive that from a special pasuk, Libehem Techa. Maser only applies to Michael Adam. And even Maser Derabbanan only applies to Michael Adam. So that Maser does not apply to Michael Behema. And then we introduce by Kapara that Maser has a greater scope and application than Peah, and that is in terms of fruits and vegetables. Fruits and vegetables are excluded from Peah because it's not Lekitos or Kachas. Other things are excluded from Peah because they cannot survive and tolerate long-term storage. Whereas in the case of Maser, Maser applies even in a case of figs and vegetables, which is not l'kichtoso ka'achas, and even in those species of crops that do not tolerate long-term storage. I want to mention a chidush here of interest in the name of Rabbi Moshe Kaziz, who's in that period of time, you know, one of the late Rishonim, early Achronim. And he writes that when we say that Shabbosos are Mechalkos, if you remember we said that if, you know, 6 days passed between the first forgetting of Shabbos when he did Melacha on Shabbos A to the second Shabbos B when he did more Melachos, then he's Chayav for each Shabbos. This doesn't apply, says Rabbeinu Moshe, in a case where there was Yontif during the 6 days between one Shabbos and another. Because, as a general rule, in 6 days of Chol, we have to assume that at some point or another he heard about that Shabbos had passed. But you need that 6 day minimum requirement to generate the assumption and conclude that he definitely would have heard about Shabbos somewhere in the middle. But he says, unless you have that knowledge that for sure he would have heard about Shabbos, then we would not apply the principle of Shabbos Mechalkos. So for example, in the classic case would be, before we get to Rav Moshe, would be the case of Holach, you know, Bamidbar, and he has no idea which day of the week it is, in a long term of a long journey in the Midbar, he lost count of the days. Then even if he violated many Shabbosos, he would be only incur one chatas for many Shabbosos. And likewise, if let's say there was a Yom Kippur in the middle between one Shabbos and the other, or any Yontif, then you don't have that 6 day period, that 6 day minimum requirement of days of Chol, during which we set up the generate the assumption that he knew about Shabbos. So in that case, again, he would be chayav only one chatas for the two Shabbosos. And also, let's mention a sugya in Krisus on Daf Tes Zayin Amid Beis that quotes a sheet of Rabbah, which would give us the following conclusion: that let's say he forgot about Meleches Zriya, just giving an example, on two consecutive Shabbosos. So again, he was aware of both Shabbosos, and that would be Mechalkos, but he did the same Moloch on both Shabbosos. And that combines the two violations of Meleches Zriya from one Shabbos to the other, Meleches Ktzira, that he did twice on two consecutive Shabbosos, into one Chiyuv Chatos. So therefore, Chazar v'osa b'kama Shabbosos, in other words, he violated a number of different Shabbosos, eino chayv alechatas achas al kol melocha. So which would mean that if he was Zorea and Kotzer on the first Shabbos, forgetting those malachos. Okay, we'll stop here for the day, and we'll continue tomorrow.